We have 1 minute, but I think I'll go ahead and start.
Okay.
I'm Deborah Nickum, and I work here in the College of Bible. I'm the assistant to the dean, and we would just like to welcome all of you who came to the Summit Series. And I am here to introduce Larry Prince. I've known Larry for about 3-4 years. And come to find out, we might have crossed paths back in 1970 in Europe when he was stationed over there in the Air Force and my family was missionaries in Austria. So kind of small world there. Larry is married to Nancy, and they have 2 sons, Andrew and Edward. And he spent 20 years in the Air Force and 22 years in the Postal Service, and now he's enjoying retirement. Larry works with the deaf at South 11th and Willis here in Abilene, and it's always so much fun to watch him interact with the deaf and with our brothers and sisters at church. And Jerry, same with you. Thank you so much for just your service to many, many, many people. Larry has 2 associate degrees, 1 in electronics and 1 in education. And I just want to welcome everybody. Thank you for coming, and hope to see you next year. And I'm sorry I'm not able to stay, but I have to go back to work.
So, good.
Thank you.
Awesome, thank you. There's one chair there, and welcome to the class. This is going to be the deaf class for ACU's the Summit. And so let's just go ahead and get started. You already know who I am. This is the PowerPoint. We're going to go from 8:30 to 9:15. The first part. And so I know some of you are in a why are you here again? Who wants to volunteer that information? You're from a class that got canceled?
Okay. Cultural diversity.
Cultural diversity. Well, this is going to be awesome because we're going to talk about deaf culture today. The first part is going to be about deaf culture. The second part, which starts at 9:30, will be about ASL, the sign language for the deaf. So the first part is going to be about culture. Second part is going to be about signing. So I do have a handout. I hope I don't. I made 20 copies. I wasn't expecting this many people in the class because, like I say, a few years ago I taught this class and they had one person show up. And so I made 20 copies, so if some of these students can maybe share or just maybe pass them around, and if you're married, you can share one. Maybe you can share. And basically, what this is what I'm going to put on the screen. So if you want to take notes or you want to keep that's going to be fine. I want to start off with a little bit different question and ask the question, what is mission work? What is the definition of mission work? We say mission work. What does that mean? Anybody? What does it mean to do mission work? Do we have enough of those? Kind of handouts, kind of spreading them around? Good. Again, what do we mean by mission work? What is mission work? I want to be a missionary, and so what do I got to do? Well, I'm going to, that's the reason, but what do I need, what is it all about? If I'm going to do mission work, what does that mean?
Reaching unreached people.
Reaching unreached people. What else does it mean? Anybody else? Mission work?
Helping those in need.
Helping people that are in need, okay. I'm going to go be a missionary in another country. Is that what it means? What do I have to do to become a missionary? I'm going to go to pick a place, pick a country, any country. I'm going to go to Africa and be a missionary. What do I have to do? Yeah. In order to be a missionary, what do I got to do? I've got to learn their culture, right? What is Africa all about? It's going to be a completely different place, right? A completely different culture. So first of all, mission work means learning another culture. Secondly, if I was going to go to Africa, wouldn't I have to know the language? I'd have to learn the language. And so to be a missionary, you have to go and learn the culture. And to be a missionary, you also have to go and learn the language. So what I'm saying is that our deaf ministry that we're going to talk about today is almost like missionary work. Because it is true that deaf have a different culture. And of course you know already that the deaf have a different language. And so I'm going to equate deaf work, our deaf work here in Abilene, to missionary work. Now, do I have to go to another country to do missionary work? I can do it right here in America, couldn't I? If I had to go up to... One time I was in Boston. Boy, those people are different. And so if I was going to go do mission work there, I'd have to learn their culture and also learn their language. I got to park the call. And so I'm going to say that deaf work and mission is almost like missionary work. So I want to approach it from that standpoint. Number one obstacle in trying to teach deaf people. What is it? What do you think? I want to teach the deaf. I want to teach them the gospel. The teacher yesterday said, I want to put Jesus in their hearts. How do I do that? And what's the one obstacle that prevents me from doing that?
Being able to communicate.
Exactly. Being able to communicate. So what do I have to do in order to reach the deaf?
Learn
sign language. And I think that's what I've got up here, is to learn not just sign language, but American sign language. And the abbreviation for that is ASL. So I would have to learn ASL pretty good. I'd have to be pretty skilled at it in order to reach the deaf. Because the deaf use what language? American Sign Language. So, here's a quote that we had from yesterday, and Dennis Wilson kind of stole a little bit of my thunder, but there, it's estimated that in the world right now, there are about 300 million deaf people. And the thing that I like to compare that to is that in America right now, the population of America is about 300 million people in America. So the way you compare that is imagine that every person in America is deaf. All of you, everybody in this building, everybody in Abilene, everybody in Texas, every person in America is deaf. From north to south, east, from in New York and California, they're all deaf, everyone. That's how many deaf people are in the world. But only 2% are Christian. Only 2% have been reached with the gospel. And so it's true that the deaf people are probably the largest unreached people in the world. And so we have a lot of work to do. I want to use a quote from Mark chapter 7, in verse 31 through 35. Then Jesus left the area around Tyre and went through Sidon. Jesus went to Lake Galilee. Jesus went through the area of the 10 towns. While he was there, some people brought a man to him, and this man was deaf and could not talk. The people begged Jesus to put his hand on the man to heal him. Jesus led the man away from the people to be alone with him. Notice first, I got another part of the verse here, but notice that some people brought a deaf man to Jesus. You ever wondered whether those people that brought the man were deaf themselves, or were they hearing? I thought about that. It's better, really, I'm going to say something, it's really better for the deaf to evangelize other deaf people. And sometimes that's happened, but not a lot. And so most of the time is hearing people that reach the deaf. And so I've often thought about that some people, some caring people, brought a man to Jesus. This man was deaf, he couldn't talk. Now most deaf people can talk, but it's a different sound. It's deaf talk. Very few deaf can actually not talk. Their voices are, something's wrong with their voices, but most of the deaf can talk. But he couldn't talk. And so they brought him. Who were those people? You ever wondered about that? Were they deaf or were they hearing? So let's look at the second part of the verse. Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears, and then Jesus spit and touched the man's tongue. And Jesus looked up into the sky and made a breathing sound. Jesus said to the man, E-P-H-P-H-A-T-H-A, whatever that says, whatever word that means, epaphah. And this means open. And when Jesus did this, the man was able to hear. The man was able to use his tongue, and he spoke clearly. What's interesting about this is that it's possible, remember in the Bible, that when Jesus wants to do a miracle, he just says, ba-bam, and it's done. But here, what does Jesus do? He makes a big kind of production out of it, a little bit of a drama out of it, and is doing that for the deaf person's benefit, because deaf people are visual. Deaf people see things. And so Jesus healed this person, and he said, open. And I'm thinking also from this verse that not only did Jesus open up his hearing, he opened up his heart as well. And I'm sure that Jesus was able to not only make the man not deaf, but also maybe he became a Christian. So there's a verse in Mark about Jesus healing a deaf person. And so let's talk about now some aspects of deaf culture. This is how, these are some things, and they're listed on your handout. These are some things that deaf people do differently than hearing people. Number one, getting their attention. How do you get a deaf person's attention? I saw a movie one time. There was two buddies, two friends. One was deaf and one was hearing. And the hearing man kept a pocket full of pebbles in his pocket. And every time he wanted to get the attention of the deaf person, he took out a rock and threw it at the deaf person and hit him. Oh, what was that? It got his attention. Is that the way? You throw things at him? How do you do that? How do you get a person's attention? There's a deaf person over there. You want to get their attention. Hearing people say, hey, how are you doing? Come here. How do you do it with deaf? Anybody know? What you do, I'm going to use you as an example. What I do is I go up and I just lightly tap them right here on the shoulder. Or if I'm fairly close, I can tap them right here on the arm. I'm not going to slap them. I'm not going to hit them. I'm just going to slightly tap them. That's how you do that. Now, you have a room full of deaf people, and they're all busy signing and talking. How do you get all everybody's attention? Okay, Jerry, you want to show how? That's how you get a deaf room full of people's attention. You flick the lights. You don't do it 100 times. That's annoying. Just a couple of times is enough to get their attention. Tap them on the shoulder. Lightly tap them on the arm, forearm. Flash the lights a couple of times. I have also seen this. You're deaf. All of you around this table are deaf, right? And you're all signing. Something like that. Something that vibrates. I've also seen, if it's a wooden floor, I've also seen this, where you just stomp, but not often. Most of the time, lightly tap if you're near them. Flick the lights a couple of times if there's a room full of deaf. Deaf people go to another deaf person's home. Where do they go? Where do they talk? Living room? Kitchen? The dining area? Where? Where do you think?
Wherever they are.
Wherever they are? Hearing people normally meet where? It's in the living room. You have nice cushions, soft sofas, and you have nice lighting. Deaf people have a tendency to meet where? They meet in the kitchen area or the dining area. Why is that? That's where the food is, right? No. The lighting in a home is normally brighter in the kitchen area than in the living room. And so most of the time, deaf people will meet where it's brighter because they see, they must see the sign. So if it's all dark, if it's in a dark room, deaf people don't like that. And so when they meet in a person's home, they go into the place where it's the best or the light, the brightest light. It's my house. It's really the dining area near the kitchen. Okay. Deaf people have long, extended introductions. When a deaf person meets each other, their introductions are long, drawn out affairs. Okay, taking many, many minutes. They want to know where you're from, how you became deaf, and so on. So the deaf have long introductions. Hearing people, hi, glad to meet you, nice to know you. See you later. Deaf people have extended introductions. They want to know. And I'll add here something else, is that deaf people, if they're in a room, say a hallway, and they pass each other. Hearing people say, hey, how you doing? And then you go right on. Deaf people have a tendency to stop and talk while they just don't pass, you know, like, they stop and they communicate. So they talk. So long introductions. Conversation regulators. So two people are signing. How do you know when it's your turn to talk? Because remember that deaf people, when they're talking, they do it consecutively. They don't do it simultaneously. Hearing people can talk simultaneously, both people talking at the same time. But deaf people have a tendency to take turns. It's your turn, now it's my turn, now it's your turn, now it's my turn. And so if I'm signing to a deaf person and I drop my hands, that's a sign that I'm finished talking, and now it's your turn. And I wait until that person's done, and then now it's my turn. So it's consecutive communication in sign language. It's simultaneous. It can be simultaneous communication with hearing people. They say that you're supposed to maintain eye contact when you're signing with deaf people, but I've noticed in my communication with deaf people, and by the way, I have a deaf son. Totally deaf, profoundly deaf. He's 41 years old. I have a son, 41 years old. And my wife and I learned sign language when we learned that he was deaf. We started learning sign language, and that was 30-some-odd years ago. And I've communicated with a lot of deaf people since then, and there seems to be an issue with some eye contact. If I'm signing to a deaf person and I look away, that means I'm not interested in what they're saying. And so it isn't like, okay, I'm going to stare you right in the eye, okay, and I'm going to sign to you. Okay, the deaf people don't do that. It's not like they're having a staring contest. But you look in their face, because your face, we're going to talk about this later, your face gives you away. Your face says, a lot of times, your face will say more than your hands will. Okay, and deaf people are very, very astute at looking at your face and knowing your emotional state. I'll be signing, and a deaf person will say, "You're feeling okay, Larry?" Because I'll see it on my face, not on my hands. So this eye contact is important to the deaf, because they have that connection there with their communication. So eye contact is a feature of deaf culture. Hearing people, they don't necessarily have to maintain eye contact. You can be talking and looking around and doing all kinds of stuff. But deaf people maintain eye contact. We also already talked about facial expressions. If you're going to learn sign language, you're going to have to learn how to move your facial muscles, how to make faces. In other words, not stupid faces, but facial expression. Here's an example of what happens sometimes. I'm going to be the interpreter here, okay? See, no facial expression. Well, what is that to the deaf people? What's this sign? This means boring. It's boring. Boring. If you do that. So deaf people commonly will have more facial expression than hearing people. When hearing people are talking, they don't have much facial expression. But deaf people have this facial expressions. And actually, that's a really important part of their language. We'll talk about that later too. But facial expressions are important as well. Body language also. Deaf people have a tendency to move their bodies. In fact, part of ASL grammar is to actually use your facial expression and also use space in front of you. Use of space, that might be up later. But anyway, body language, where you move around, you shift, there's body shift and stuff. So deaf people, when they're signing in ASL, usually use more body language than hearing people do. And so that's a feature of, these are some features of deaf culture. Some more is pointing. Is pointing polite in hearing society? No, we don't point in hearing society. But guess what? In deaf culture, pointing is necessary, because that's how you do pronouns. So if I'm going to talk about my mother, she's dead now. She died. So what have I just done? I said my mother was 57 when she died, and I pointed to her. So what I do is, when I'm signing, I set up a position and space in front of me for my mother. She's not here. I'm going to talk about her. So what I do is I point off to the side. So I've just set up a space in front of me for my mother. Okay. My father was 85 when he died last year, and I've put him here. So now what I can do in sign language is I can talk about two people, my mother and my father, and I can refer back to them. They're called reference. I can go back to them and refer to them by just pointing. So I can talk about people by setting up a space in front of me and pointing. So in ASL, pointing is necessary. They're used for pronouns, so pointing. We don't point in hearing society because it's rude. Same. Hugging, there's a lot of hugging and so on in deaf culture. People hug a lot. They're touchy-feely, they touch. They do a lot of hugging. Deaf people don't typically just shake hands like hearing people do. They do a hug, they give hugs. And so deaf culture is more hugging than hearing culture. There's more touching and contact, making contact, good contact, not bad contact, but good contact. Hugging is important. There's another one, long goodbye rituals. People just don't say, I gotta go, bye, and then they take off. Deaf people stay. I've seen them 2 hours. 2 hours just to say goodbye. Because deaf people will go to the first person and they do their thing about where they're going to do, what their plans are, what they're going to do tomorrow, next week, next year. Then they got to go to the next person. You have a whole room full of deaf people, and each one gets a turn at saying goodbye. So there is, in deaf culture, there's an extension of saying goodbye. They just don't get up and take off. And typically, if they leave the room, deaf people will tell people where they're going. You got to make a phone call, or you don't. I know one woman, she didn't like to say, I got to go to the bathroom. This is a sign for bathroom, or toilet, restroom, more correct. And so in order to leave to go to the bathroom, she would say, I got to go make a phone call, and then she would leave. She didn't want to say, I got to go to the bathroom. She was embarrassed. So deaf people, when they leave the room, they typically let the room know what's happening. Why are you leaving? Well, I got to go to the bathroom, or I got to make a phone call. So long goodbye rituals. I see them go from the kitchen, say goodbye. They go to the living room, which is near the door normally. They say more goodbyes. Then they open the door. Then they say more goodbyes. Then they get to the porch. Then they say more goodbyes. Then they get to the front yard. They haven't got to the car yet. Then they say more goodbyes. So it's a long ritual. Talk while eating. This is really cool. You can have a mouthful of food and still talk, because you're signing with your hands, okay? Deaf people can have a tendency to be blunt, more blunt than hearing people. The example that's typically given is you have a deaf friend and you haven't seen him for a long time. They come in and you meet him, and they've put on a few pounds since you've seen him last, and so the deaf person says, oh, you're fat. You're fat. Your hair, I liked it before. I don't like your hair now. Before it was nice, but now, not good. So people can be a little bit, this is a sign for blunt, a little bit blunt. Hearing people don't have a tendency to say stuff like that, but deaf people do. So they're more blunt. They're also concrete thinkers. They think in terms of pictures. They think in terms of concrete ideas. Concepts can be difficult for deaf people. And that's the reason, really, why it's hard to teach the deaf, because some of the things about teaching the gospel, Jesus, redemption, salvation, sin, are conceptual. And sometimes those concepts are difficult for deaf people to understand. They can understand them, but you have to teach them in different ways. We had a good class yesterday. Some of you were here for that. And about touching the hearts with the deaf with Jesus, putting Jesus in their hearts. You do it with action, with drama, with clear pictures, with explanation. But concepts are different. Some concepts are different. And so the deaf have a tendency to be concrete thinkers. Some deaf. They don't like speech. They don't like using voice. So really, speech is really negatively valued in deaf culture. Most people are nice. Most deaf people are very nice. But there are some hardcore deaf that really hate speech. They hate voice. I've met some deaf that hate hearing people. They don't like I'm sorry, that's not the sorry sign. They don't like hearing people at all. They want to stick together. They want to stick together, and they don't like hearing people at all. And they don't like speech. Sign language. Now, don't get me wrong. ASL, I can communicate anything I want to in ASL. I'm not limited. That language of ASL, I can convey anything, either conceptually or not. But some deaf people prefer that. And so speech is negatively valued in deaf culture generally. It's a fact that most deaf have better vision than hearing people. They see things. Their peripheral vision is better. They can see things to the side. They notice movement better than hearing people. They say the reason for that is that part of the brain that is used for speech and for hearing have been transferred over to their vision. So they got more brain power for vision than they do hearing because they're deaf. And so I've seen deaf people really visual acuity is really awesome. Also, deaf people have a tendency to feel vibrations more. When my son was growing up, he would know that a plane was going overhead before we did, because he could feel the vibrations. So deaf people can feel vibrations really, really good. It's not that they're supermen or super people. They just have better feeling for vibration and also for vision. I'll add this in. Deaf people make better drivers than hearing people, statistically, by the numbers. Why is that, do you think? Why would a deaf person be a better driver than a hearing person?
More visually aware.
Because if you think about driving, isn't it mostly a visual experience? Okay, what you see. And so statistically, deaf people make better drivers than hearing people. Statistically, also, deaf people live longer than hearing people, statistically. So better vision, better drivers. A lot of deaf are dependent upon the government for their income. There's a government program called SSI. There's also SSDI, Supplemental Security Income, I think is what it stands for. And so each month the deaf people will get a check from the government. Deaf people have been discriminated against through the years. It's better now, but it still happens. We were talking about driving. Not too many years ago, deaf people couldn't drive. They couldn't get a license. And I guess the rationale was, well, they're deaf. How could they drive? Well, later on, when they got smart, they realized that really deaf people make better drivers. So what's up with that? So anyway, the deaf people do get assistance from the government. And some work, a lot of them work. But a lot of them just get that. That's, I keep on doing that, but that's a sign for monthly government income. So anyway. I said this before, that sometimes deaf people don't trust hearing people too much. Because we'll give you an example. There are deaf people in the room now. I'm talking with her, and I'm acting like the deaf people, they can't hear what I'm saying. What happens here is that, how do the deaf people know I'm not talking about to her about them? And so there's a little bit of insecurity there, and so they're a little distrustful. When you're a hearing person and you're talking with another person, that's why it's really considered rude. If I have a whole room full of people, some are deaf, some are hearing, it's not polite for me to have a conversation with her without signing. And that happens. It's happened here in this room this morning. And so the deaf are left out. They're isolated from conversation. They have been ever since they were young, and they grew up that way. And so they're distrustful of hearing people. We talked about this a little bit. There have, in America, with hearing culture people, there is a concept or a feeling of individualism. I can do it myself. I've got my job. I've got my house. I've got my things. I don't need anybody else necessarily. Well, deaf people don't think that way. They think in terms of collectivism. Knowing each other, getting with each other, communicating with each other. Okay? They depend upon each other for lots of things. For me, I'm an individual. I can do it myself. I don't need you necessarily. So there's a feeling of collectivism in deaf culture. That's an important part of their culture. If I was to say, what was the most important thing about deaf culture, it would be this one right here. A feeling of being together, of sharing the same trait, the same types of things that happen in their lives, being alone, and so on. And so the idea of collectivism. How do deaf people applaud? They go to a play or something and they want a clap like we do. Do they do this? No, they do this. So everybody do this for me. We're going to wake up here. Yay, this is deaf applause, okay? Now, I've met some deaf people that don't like that, interestingly enough. They think it draws too much attention to them. And so they like to do this instead, like hearing people. They want to be like hearing people. But normally, in a room full of deaf people, if there's an applause, they usually do this. So applause is different. Use of technology. Right now in our world, the deaf have so much technology that before they didn't have. They had none. But now there's all kinds of stuff. There's video relay, there's video texting, there's all kinds of alarms and stuff like that. There's all kinds of vibrating things. My son has a pillow that he plugs into the wall, and he can set the time, and in the morning, if he wants to wake up, he can set the pillow to start vibrating. And so he's there sleeping, and all of a sudden his pillow starts vibrating. It wakes him up. There's vibrating watches. You can get a watch that will start vibrating when the alarm goes off. VP, video phones, where they can talk with each other through a TV set and a camera and internet and so on. So there's all kinds of lots of technology that deaf people use now. Not that hearing people don't use it, but lots of technology. And then, of course, I'm a deaf person. I got to go to the doctor. And, of course, the doctor doesn't know sign language. And so what do I do? How do I communicate my problem with the doctor? Normally what happens is the deaf person will call an agency and will get an interpreter to show up at the doctor's office for them. The interpreter will act as a communication link between the doctor, the hearing doctor, and the deaf person. The deaf patient. And that's what I do now. I've done it for a long time. We'll go with a deaf person and I will interpret for the deaf person between the doctor and the deaf patient. Whatever the doctor says, I sign. Whatever the deaf person signs, I say. And so it's a communication link to the deaf and the hearing. Everybody knows who she is. She was a deaf blind lady. She was totally deaf and blind. And she said this, which is very, 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 very true. And so some of the reason that it's hard to evangelize the deaf is because not very many people know how to sign. Who knows how to sign in this room right now? Hey, raise your hand. You know sign language? If you know signs, just raise your hand. You, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, of course. So how do we touch the deaf if we can't even sign? We don't know how to communicate with them. And so We touched on this before. Let me give you all four of them right here instead of doing them one at a time. When deaf people meet each other, they want to know stuff about the person. Number one is their language ability. Do they speak in ASL? Do they do English signs or ASL or what? Where they grew up, where they went to school. Whether the deaf person had deaf parents or hearing parents. Now, do you know that most deaf people, the vast majority of deaf people have hearing parents? It's about 95% of deaf people have hearing parents. There's very, very few deaf families that are all totally deaf. I know of one in Abilene, one family where the wife, the father, the mother, and all three children are deaf or hard of hearing. Now let me stop right here and say something, that there's only two designations for deaf people. One is that they're deaf. Second, they're hard of hearing. You've heard deaf and dumb? Don't use that. Hearing impaired? Don't use that. That's not politically not PC anymore. They're either deaf or they're hard of hearing. Now, which one they are is really their choice. They say, I'm deaf, or I'm hard of hearing. Okay? And so, whether they had deaf or hearing parents, and most deaf have hearing parents. Whether they were deafened before or after acquiring a speech. Now, at what age is the speech acquisition time frame? When do kids start learning language?
Like 2 or 3 years old.
At least by 2, they're starting to learn language. So if you were born deaf, then you didn't have any language acquisition period. And so deaf people are interested in whether they were became deaf before or after that. If you became deaf after that, you have more skill in voice, talking. Before that, you have a real hard time with that. And so whether they were deafened before or after acquiring speech, and then whether the person is hard of hearing or deaf. Isn't that interesting? I meet a person. I go to a deaf workshop in Fort Worth. We did that last year. I went to there were like 700 people showed up for this deaf meeting, or actually workshop. And I come up to a person, and they're signing. Are they deaf or not? How do you know? How do you know that they're... You can't tell by looking, can you? Because deaf people look like just like you and me, right? They don't have some physical characteristic. Even if they're signing, they might have grown up with parents that were deaf, and they learned sign language from the time they were real young, but they're hearing. And so a deaf person can't tell by looking at you whether you're deaf or whether you're hearing. Isn't that interesting? So are you deaf or hard of hearing, or are you a hearing person? So I meet a deaf person, I'm signing to them. I'm a hearing person, but I have skill in sign language. They can't tell whether I'm deaf or not. And so one of the questions they ask, oh, are you deaf or hearing? Oh, I'm a hearing person. I interpret. And so on. So, interesting. These are some of the things that deaf people want to know about each other. What do you think is the number one emotion experienced by deaf people? The number one emotion that they're faced with probably just about every day. What do you think? Fill in the blank. What do you think it is? Anybody? The number one feeling that deaf people have on a normal basis. What would it be like to be deaf? Is it easy? Is it fun? No. So what emotion would they feel most of the time? Do you think?
Frustration.
Oh, very good. Thank you for that. Frustration. Because it's a hearing world, and there are very few deaf. Abilene right now has about 117,000 people, and I think I counted the other day there's probably 100 deaf altogether. Men, women, children, about 100. So that's not many. In larger cities, of course, there are more. Dennis yesterday was saying that he worked in Mexico City for a few years. There are 1 million deaf people in Mexico City. Wow. So they have a lot of frustration. Everybody know what that is? What does that mean? That is the deaf logo. That's a deaf symbol. It means deaf. So I had a little, I've got a few minutes left. I just want to put this on the screen real quick. These are some of the things that deaf people face on a daily basis. Have a lot of stuff to worry about, and so frustration. My time is out. We're going to start in about another 14 or so minutes. So thank you so much for coming. If you want to stay and have some questions, that's fine too.